a sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, football, football.
Yes, yes, people, welcome along to another edition of North London 40.
Woo!
My name's James Hamlin.
My name's Inny Abenigo.
So, it's Super Bowl week. It's the penultimate...
It's Pro Bowl week, don't you mean?
Let's rewind, let's go back to the start. It's Pro Bowl week. Fantastic, fantastic news. It's Pro.
For all of you that have been waiting for it, here is our three-hour in-depth analysis of the Pro Bowl. No, it's not happening.
All right. I was going to say, I don't know. So please let me know. No, they did the draft for that last week. Especially angled at you fantasy football aficionados, if you did miss out on that, you can do fantasy football on the Pro Bowl, but that's on, yeah, that's on. So like that kind of happened last night, and yeah, something happened, and yeah, you can find out about it. We didn't watch it, so sorry. There you have it. This is North London 40, bringing you the NFL in the right way to you, the great British public, via the means of the podcast. Some housekeeping before we get into anything, of course.
Housekeeping.
NLDN40 on the Twitter, NorthLondon40.com. Check it out, NorthLondon40@gmail.com. All the channels are out there. We're out here. Hit us up with all this type of stuff during the week. Yeah, we want to chat to you because it's the biggest week of the season, because nothing else is going on apart from people like us talking about the game on Sunday, right? And that's basically what's happening. We didn't have a game this weekend. We had the Pro Bowl, but we're not going to talk about that. We had that, but yeah, not a lot else, but we're here to help you with a bit of a guide for the game that's happening this weekend, help you digest it. We've got special guest this week, one of the nicest people in show business. He presents the Channel 4 coverage of the NFL, has done for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Nat Coombs is on the podcast today.
One of the greatest men in sports today, Nat Coombs.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I agree with that. He's going to be on the pod in a bit to talk to you about all things NFL on Channel 4, what they're going to do, why Channel 4 is the choice to watch the game on, not mm-hmm. other networks.
No.
So he's going to be on there pleading his case for that. Not like he needs to, but outlining what Channel 4 have got in store for us during the big game.
Mm-hmm. They are the, you know, leaders, pioneers of the game.
Yeah, of course. There's it's probably talking about the studio guests they've got versus the other networks.
Yeah.
We shall see. So he's going to be on the pod.
Sadly, not us.
No.
We've got other plans.
We have got other plans. And we should talk about that. We should talk about that. The Super Bowl party, 1st of February, Bloomsbury Lanes in London. Tickets are still available. There's a couple still available for that. Come join us, the Tuesday Morning Football lads, the Any Given Sunday Night lads, and you, all of our mates. Chance to see each other to round up the season. Tickets only £10, and you get a free beer with that. BloomsburyLive.com/Super Bowl. BloomsburyLive.com/Super Bowl is the URL, but if you follow the North London 40 Twitter, we mm-hmm. tweet and retweet about this every 5 seconds. So get on there. We've got fan clubs coming down there. The shout to the UK Packers and the UK Chiefs are doing a flag football game before the game. So that's fun.
Out of curiosity, do they have to play in the same mold as their respective teams?
All right. So if you're playing as a wide receiver for the UK Chiefs flag football game, you may as well not bother, right? And if you're playing quarterback for the Packers, you got to hobble around. I don't know. Ask them.
How realistic is this game going to be?
I don't know. We've got to ask these guys. We've got to ask these guys. We'll ask them on Twitter and tell them to tell the world. Mm-hmm. So that's that. That's going to be happening. We've got beer pong. We've got loads of screens. We've got levels. We've got DJs.
Can we also point out something else that gets overlooked a lot? We have amazing food.
Yes,
amazing food.
American food, as my parents would call it. American food. Pizzas, hot dogs, all that stuff. The Lanes has its own diner. So look, let's not get it twisted. The opportunity to do American stuff mm-hmm. is still appealing to people. Yeah. Right? And this is what this is.
Exactly.
Staying up late, doing American stuff, wolfing a pizza, drinking beer, playing a bit of beer pong, wearing a cap backwards.
Ooh!
Yeah. Wearing a cap backwards or even sideways.
Wearing your, spotting your NFL gear and then knowing that someone's going to look at it and go, give you that head nod of reassurance.
Yeah, wearing an NFL jersey over the top of a suit.
Yeah,
yeah, you can do these. You can do these things. Talking of NFL looks, actually, mm-hmm. we can't actually, because you're on the pod, you've got to see this, but Inyo's sporting a great new haircut today. For the people that are my age, think Neil Smith in the late 80s and early 90s, a kind of like a blended flat top. Oh, it looks cool.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
It looks cool. If you join the UK Chiefs for that flag game, then they chuck you a pass or two. They put you rushing. It looks really cool. So, yeah, it's a chance to do all that type of stuff. We love jerseys. We've got loads of prizes to give away on the night. So people with jerseys. Oh, and talking of prizes as well.
Mm-hmm.
This week, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see that we have copies of one of the greatest sports films ever made,
mm-hmm.
with a lead role for one of sports movie genre's greatest ever actors,
yep.
Kevin Costner.
Woo!
We've got a bunch of copies of Draft Day to give away. Mm-hmm. So hit us up on Twitter. I think it's super simple. You just have to retweet the tweet and we'll pick up random winners at will. Draft Day competition. Check it out. We've got some Draft Day t-shirts and discs and stuff to give away on the night. There's a bunch of other stuff, but check out our Twitter. We've got a competition, Draft Day. Check it out on there. Tell a friend to tell a friend. If you haven't seen it, one of the greatest movies ever made, full stop, about the draft.
Has Kevin Costner been in a film about every single American sport yet?
Baseball?
Yeah. American football with Draft Day.
Yeah.
Out on DVD and Blu-ray soon.
Yeah, the day after the Super Bowl, it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah.
He hasn't done an NHL one, has he?
Waterworld, about water sports?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that was about surfing.
Yeah.
he hasn't done one about The Postman. I feel that was soccer, as they say. I think that was about that.
You posterized someone. Yeah. No idea. But if you haven't seen the movie, or even if you had seen the movie, it's about the Cleveland Browns, which is another good reason to celebrate. Anyway, we digress. We digress. But at NLDM40 on Twitter, you can check out the competition on there for sure. But that's enough of that stuff. Let's chat to our first guest.
She's in your dream.
Right, so guest time. He's hosting the Channel 4 coverage of the Seattle Seahawks New England Patriots Super Bowl this Sunday. He is the man hosting all of that. He is Nat Coombs. How's it going, man?
Very well indeed. Good to be on again. How you doing, fellas?
Yeah, great, thanks. So hosting this year for you must be a great honour. One of the boxes ticked, right? One of those dreams fulfilled. It has to be.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've talked about it before. A lot of us fell in love with the game in this country, in the UK, as kids watching it on Channel 4, on television in this country. And as a result, you know, finding myself hosting for the first time the Super Bowl is absolutely, for me, a dream come true. So I'm very excited and really chuffed as well.
So what have you guys got planned? It's a big production. It starts about an hour before kickoff. Is that right? Plenty of pregame stuff moving in?
That's it. We've got an hour build-up. We're going to start with, within the first 10 minutes, Mike Carson will do his Katy Perry compendium.
Okay.
So me, Carson and I, of course, will be in studio with a very special guest that I can't name at this stage, but, you know, join the dots in terms of for the Super Bowl, obviously. It's a big NFL name, I can tell you.
And you can give give a clue away. Theoretically, he's either won or played in a Super Bowl. Theoretically,
yes, that's right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. The team. So we're going to be doing it from our studios in London, Channel 4 studios in London. Then we've got out in Arizona a team of Vernon, of course, Big Vern, Gethin Jones. Who's going to be pitch side doing the gig I did last year, which is a brilliant gig.
Of course.
It's much better than hosting, let's be honest. And also Adam Richman from Man vs. Food. He's been on the show each of the Wembley games, and of course his show's on the channel on the network as well. So he's going to be doing various bits in the build-up to the game. So it's a good crew, yeah, and we're excited about it.
Brilliant. So we should have the opportunity at least to have an expert view of the amount of food and the types of food that people are consuming in the stadium, right? Which should be an education in itself.
Yeah, that's it, man. I mean, you know how remarkable Super Bowl week is, you know, the build up to it and the game day itself, but just the excess of it is, you know, it is amazing. And so, yeah, it'd be good to get his take on that side, I think, for sure.
Definitely. So, coming into this week, it's a big one. Look, for any new fans of the sport that just watch one game a year, and that's okay. You know, that's fine. You don't have to listen to podcasts and all this paraphernalia. Look, this game, in a sense, what's so special about it, Nat? Why is it the biggest? Why is it the greatest? Why does it galvanize all sports fans globally under one game to stay up till ridiculous times of night on a Sunday night? What's so special about it?
Well, I think it's a few things, really. I mean, I think that we must never lose sight of the fact that, certainly for me, and I know a lot of people that, you know, as non-Americans fell in love with the sport, it, you know, it was always a combination of not just what was going on the field, but the razzmatazz, you know, which sometimes is skeptics will throw as a negative, you know, but I don't think so. And within reason, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't like too much stuff going on at a game that distracts from the sports. And for example, I'm quite purist in some respects. I'm a big cricket fan.
Yes.
I'm not a massive fan of music getting blared when a boundary's hit or any of that. But what I'm talking about, I guess, is the technicolor of the NFL, which, and Vern and I talk about this a lot because we're, you know, similar age and as I say, fell in love with the game at a similar time as kids watching it on TV. It wasn't just the sport that was intoxicating, which was this alien thing that you, and we had no preamble then and no explanation, no exposition. It was like you were basically working it out, determined on the highlight commentary, which was often kind of patched together quite irregularly as well, just trying to work out what the hell was going on. But it was more than that. It was a technicolor. And as such, I think the Super Bowl, you know, is very much the annual jewel in the crown in that respect. So I think the Americans understand that and do that side of it very well. So, you know, take Media Day, which, you know, you and I have talked about before, is an absolutely surreal, over-the-top event. It's great. And again, you know, you look at it and some people say, well, you know, it's just a series of sound bites. You never get anything. And it's nonsense when people ask me for wedding proposals. And it's not, you know, it's just, it's brilliant and slightly absurd, but hugely colorful. And so I think the Super Bowl in that respect, you know, encapsulates what we love about the game outside of the game itself. But then there's the game itself. And in this case, it is, I think everybody would agree, the two best teams in the NFL going head-to-head right now. You're probably going to ask some of your listeners who, you know, who feel that some teams are robbed kind of getting there, but I think that it's the two number one seeds anyway. And of course, it's just a fascinating matchup. It's not as simple as this, naturally, but it, quite clearly one of the main narratives going into the game is Brady and his offense against the Legion of Boom. And of course, they're more than just that. Of course, you've got Wagner and, you know, it's a hell of a defense across the board in Seattle. But, yeah, Tom Brady, one of the all-time great quarterbacks. Forget what's been going on in the last week and all that nonsense. But one of the game's greats. Belichick, one of the great coaches, going up against this fantastic defense, which, you know, has come good when it matters this season.
You've gone back, Nat, I'm sure, studying tons of game tape, looking at the Patriots and probably... Tons, right? And probably reflecting on the night and day, reflecting on the Patriots era, right? Because in a sense, this is a way to cap the, I guess, kind of cap the Patriots era of success, which started with their first Super Bowl victory against the Carolina Panthers. Have you also gone back and looked at that tape and looked at John Barnes' performance when he presented the Super Bowl coverage that year and maybe picked up a few tips off him?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, one of the crazy things was doing the Wembley games, and the first one I anchored, which was the second game, so Atlanta-Detroit, and Mick Luckhurst was one of the guests, and I had some amazing guests on the coverage for Wembley. You know, I had Michael Johnson, Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk, you know, but I think, like, well, Irvin was my favourite guest, but Luckhurst, I mean, that was just incredible because he was the guy I watched growing up, and he's an effortlessly cool man as well. And of course I've studied the Masters, but you make a good point about the Patriots. because, you know, when we were growing up, they were so bad. I mean, I think, you know, they had their run to the Super Bowl against the Bears, and they got blown up by the Bears.
First game I ever watched. First game a lot of people would have watched. 12 million people watched that game.
Massive. Yeah,
on Channel 4.
They went into that game, you know, quietly confident, didn't they? And were blown out of the water by you know, that fantastic Bears team. But, you know, they went through a pretty sort of barren run. And, you know, so this Belichick-Brady era, you're right, I think it's also coming to an end. I mean, I'm not necessarily suggesting because of all the shenanigans that have been going on, and certainly not immediately. But it is, you get a sense there aren't many more opportunities. And you look at, there's an interesting stat about Belichick's coaching record. I can't remember the exact figures. Without Brady and Belichick's coaching record with Brady. That's a slightly artificial stat. To qualify that, the stat, you know, his win-loss record is significantly better with Brady than it ever was without him. But, you know, it's slightly artificial insofar as, you know, you look at his tenure at the Browns, which is pretty unhappy, but, you know, and he's starting out as he kind of hit his stride and matured as a head coach at the Patriots. But it is a remarkable partnership. You know, you have the Peyton Breeze partnership in New Orleans and others, but there is a real simpatico between the head coach and the quarterback, but not many stronger than the one between Belichick and Brady. When you look at you look at the fact that he was plucked as a 199th pick in the draft and was never meant to do what he's gone on and done, and a lot of that is down to the faith that Belichick had in him. So yeah, that I think is also a really interesting storyline going into this game, that it could be Brady's last chance to stake his claim as the greatest quarterback of all time.
You're right, and the American sports lens is—it's a lot more finite than on this side of the pond, isn't it? It's like you're a winner or a loser, or there's no way in between. And in a way where we have, you know, great quarterbacks like Elway that are always tagged with the loser tag because they never won the big game, and Jim Kelly never won the big game. Unfortunately, the problem is with this particular Super Bowl loss, if you have Brady who starts with three Super Bowl wins and three Super Bowl losses to kind of tag this era, unfortunately, it just puts a bit of a shroud on everything, doesn't it? And that's just a really unfortunate thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, I'm a firm believer in, take the Andy Reid Eagles, right, who were perennial contenders for most of the decade that he was there, and yet obviously never managed to go over the line. You know, I guess that you can draw a comparison with Arsenal in football as well, you know, latterly anyway, that, you know, Arsenal continually qualifying for the Champions League but not winning any significant silverware, you know, I think is a great achievement. It means it's
incredible.
A very strong team.
It's incredible.
Great coaching. And, and should be respected in the same way Andy Reid and the Eagles should be respected for being, you know, regular contenders in a tough division. You know, it's one of those arguments that will rage on, isn't it? You know, and specifically with a quarterback, you know, you make a good point that, yeah, of course the quarterback is hugely influential in the game. And as Carlson pointed out before, I think he's going to trademark this one, but probably the quarterback is the most influential position in any sport in you know, the world. But it is the opposite word there. And so the overemphasis on winning and losing a Super Bowl in terms of the quarterback's legacy is slightly odd because he didn't lose it on his own in most cases. Unless of course Bears fans are screaming at you right now, unless you're talking about Rex Grossman. He should be blamed for everything ever.
Hey, love talking about Rex Grossman. It's brilliant. It's great fun.
Yeah, we should talk more about Rex Grossman, I think.
Interceptor,
a standard rule in life that one should find at least 5 minutes a day to talk about Rex Grossman.
Interceptosaurus Rex.
Comeback this season.
He didn't fancy it, did he?
He got banded around with the Arizona.
Unbelievable. Keep getting them checks, yeah. Rex. Keep getting them. Yeah, it could be a new nickname for him. But there you go. But just to touch on the Seahawks quickly, I guess on the other side, because the interesting thing about those guys, again, legacies and dynasties are something we love talking about and we love focusing on as fans. This is also a massive game for Seattle, isn't it? Because this is the opportunity for these guys to create a legacy in the salary cap era when legacies don't exist anymore. You know, these were the first Super Bowl winner to even win a playoff game. And look, the Seattle Seahawks, you mentioned the 85-86 Bears, and I love it when anyone mentions them. But look, this is an opportunity for these guys to even usurp that defense and say, look, we won it 2 years in a row, right, in the free agency era. So this is massive for these guys, right?
They're the first team to get defending champs to get back to the Super Bowl since the Patriots 10 years ago, you know. So that tells you a lot. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things there is the distinction between last year's Seahawks, and they were a team, and I was out in New Jersey all week, you know, for the build-up. And everywhere that the players and coaching staff were on show, they were so relaxed. There was such a swagger about them that wasn't cocky. It was just, they were having a great time. They were chill. They were just, you know, and that translated onto the field. You know, I remember, I think I might have even made this point on the broadcast, but I couldn't believe how relaxed they were. When the Broncos had that horrific start and Manning, you know, the ball sailed over Manning's head, and the Seahawks were so, they were hyped up, of course they're going to be hyped up, but they were so, they're having fun with it, you know. They were dancing on the sidelines, they were walking on top of the, you know, the top bit of the benches, and just, I was standing there, and my cameraman with me, Dave Caulfield, I must give him a shout out, a hell of a guy.
Of course.
And I said, Dave, we're in this at the Super Bowl. It looks like it was just a bit of, you know, a sort of pickup game in the park. That's what it felt like. And you know, it's altogether different for them. They're the champions. They're going into it with this weight of expectation on their shoulders. And, you know, and success changes people. I'm not suggesting it has with the Seahawks specifically. But, you know, you see it in entertainment all the time. Something that made an actor or a comic or a singer great, and then they settle the trappings of success. I mean, you could argue, you know, the first example I can think of, and maybe this is a bit unfair, is Eddie Murphy. You know, like Eddie Murphy.
Amazing analogy.
The most phenomenal artist, you know, in the early to late 80s, really kind of from stand-up through to his early success in Hollywood. And then something changed. Now, whether that was his fault or the people around him, or you only have a certain window to be able, I mean, whatever it is, it's different once you've made it, I think. And so it'd be really interesting to see how the Seahawks react to, also, you know, they went into last year, excuse me, as the underdogs. Like, they were big underdogs, weren't they? Everyone thought Manning was just going to roll all over them. And I think it'll be a very, very different week for them, very different build-up for them. But let's see how they feel. I mean, Pete Carroll's notorious for creating that sense of, you know, camaraderie and belief. And, you know, he's not this draconian drill sergeant, Coughlin-style head coach, is he? So he might just say, look, you know, just remember how you felt last year and try and be that again. But easier said than done, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually went back and watched that Seahawks A Football Life yesterday, just to kind of, because it captures the story so well, doesn't it? I'm not quite sure why Jim Caviezel was narrating it. He's terrible on it. But like, it goes back and you focus on that story, and you're absolutely right. They all say, like, you know, we were the guys that nobody believed in. It was our time, blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of it's quite cliched, but you say none of that applies now. But I think it's kind of, look, Pete Carroll, and it's, he draws on its USC experience. And I don't know, maybe it's hard to describe. It's that West Coast approach, kind of cool type of live in the moment that team seems to have. The way that they were, you know, there was no way they were winning the Green Bay game, but they focused on it with, maybe it is arrogant in some ways, but I don't know. It's just an inner belief that's drilled into that squad from the top to the bottom. As a fan of the sport, as a fan of any sport, it's amazing to sit back and watch it. Just watch it work like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the West Coast element that you've mentioned is a good one. You know, I think there's definitely a school of psychology that is, you know, in USC and what Carroll achieved there. Of course, remember he failed and he's blown out of the NFL from the Patriots, you know? And and really found himself there and found his coaching voice there. And I think, you know, that's the difference. But, you know, also remember that going into last season, Carroll was on the hot seat, and, you know, and Matt Flynn hadn't got the, you spent all this money on Flynn, and then suddenly Russell Wilson's getting the start, and you're like, who? What the hell is going on? You know, they were, I bet you can find odds of Carroll being the favourite to be fired first. I bet he was amongst the favourites to go. So, I haven't seen the Seahawks football live yet, actually. I must check that out. I'll watch it this week. But
it's a good one.
I can imagine that is the overwhelming narrative of that. But yeah, no one thought we'd win it.
Nat, so quickly before we leave you, give people the heads up. Where can they watch the coverage? I guess for you guys as well as the. So you're starting 10:30 and Sunday night. That's great. Channel 4 and Channel 4 HD. You got other stuff online people can check out during the week. Follow you on Twitter. What should they be tuning into this week?
Yeah, that's right. So we're on 10:30 on Channel 4. I mean, the Twitter handles to follow. So it's the Channel 4 crew at C4NFL is the mothership. I'm at Nat Coombs, unsurprisingly. That's at Nat Coombs, not at Nat Coombs, unsurprisingly. Carlson's on there as well, at Carlson Sports. Big Vern as well. I can't remember what Vern is, but I'm sure you'll find him. They'll be good to certainly Vern and Geffen. I don't have a Twitter handle in front of me. I think Vern's at official Vernon Kane, you know, Geffen Jones. The boys will be out there, so they'll be bringing some different stuff to it. So yeah, check us out. Keep loyal to the terrestrial coverage, people. That's what I'm saying.
We certainly will be, no question. We are ride or die. C4 Sunday night. We are locked in, and can't wait to see your coverage. We're going to be rooting for you, no question. We know you're going to deliver us the game, and just help us guide us through it, and. And yeah, just actually can't wait for it. Can't wait to see you up there. And it's, yeah, bring on Sunday night.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. And, you know, fantastic work as ever this season. Keep the show going, man. And we will chat on the other side for sure.
Cheers, mate. See you soon.
Take care. All the best.
So that was Nat Coombs.
Woo!
Channel 4 is the spot.
Woo!
We'll be playing Channel 4 coverage at the night at the Super Bowl party for sure. After hearing about it like that, I mean, how can we not, right?
Of course.
How can we not? So anyway, it's Super Bowl week. It's when the Super Bowl, there's more media than ever talking about the big game.
Yep.
And we should talk a little bit about that stuff because it can get a little bit daunting. We've got media week this week with all more thoughts to talk about. But it's all been about Ballgate this week. Mm-hmm. Deflated balls, squeeze balls, no balls.
New York Post has been killing it with their front pages recently. You know, Tom Brady saying he squeezes his balls, all that sort of fun stuff.
In case anybody hasn't been covering this or wants to know in a nutshell.
Basically, during the first half of the Patriots-Colts game, it was found out by the Colts defense when Tom Brady threw that pick when trying to force that ball to Rob Gronkowski, that the ball was underinflated. And you may wonder, all right, that's odd. That's, what does that mean exactly? In windy conditions, apparently having a ball that's underinflated from the 13 PI that it should be, it's easier to throw in those conditions. And basically, this equates to the Patriots cheating. Why does this matter? I'm not entirely sure. It's probably a slow news week. It's Pro Bowl, not really much going on. But it's also the Patriots, infamously involved in Spygate. No one really likes Bill Belichick. He's a frosty coach. I think that's a polite way of putting it. And so people have kind of jumped on the bandwagon and you've got ex-players, ex-coaches, all complaining and crying. And it's one of those easy things where it's very quick to make fun of the Patriots. It's very quick to be, you know, down on the Patriots. It's like being, you know, being against animal cruelty. Everyone, in theory, is against animal cruelty because it's
apart from
cruelty.
That guy that got cut by the Ravens today.
I didn't
hear. He's obviously not against animal cruelty.
Okay. So that's about it, really. it's a time waster. Let's put it that way.
It is, and it's all people have been talking about all weekend. And look, it's the New England Patriots, as we said before in much detail, they are like the Man United of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been so successful. You are very much for them or against them. And it gives people an opportunity to come out of the woodwork and lay the boot in, right? And so you have people like Hines Ward going on Seth Meyers' show, and obviously Pittsburgh, no love lost with those in the Patriots, talking about, you know, the Patriots and how they cheated. Mark Brunell, as you said, in tears about it. I mean, come on. In tears about it and stuff. But again, it's we now live in a situation around social media where denying stuff, evidence is so easy to be found. So with Belichick to come out and deny everything, throw his star quarterback out there at the press conference to just talk about balls, and for him to deny any knowledge or any feel of the balls and stuff and deny it is just, it's not good. You know, is this still going to be kicking around? Is it still going to be talked about during Super Bowl week? Yes, it's such a micro story. It was described like, Hines Ward described it as like throwing a Nerf football. if you've kind of done that, but yeah. Look, does it tarnish the victory if it happens? Afraid so. In a world of sporting,
but does it really?
Asterisks?
If in the first half, and if the ball that was, you know, deflated was used in the first half, and they didn't particularly do very well, but in the second half the ball was then normal, and that's when they went ahead and what scored like 30 points to nothing. Does that really like? I guess it would in general. People would tarnish it. But in reality, if you look at the use of the said ball, it doesn't necessarily have that much of a factor at the end of the game.
We shall see. We shall see. But it's anyway, that's what we talk about, people. That's what we talk about ahead of the game. So what should people be talking about ahead of the game? I mean, look, you're in Super Bowl week. And again, let's not forget, we've got lots of new fans coming mm-hmm. into the sport. What should we be thinking about on Super Bowl week, the prep week? What should we be focusing on instead?
Chips and dips.
Yep.
I think that's very important. Of course, you should know where you're watching the game. Like, if you're new to the sport, obviously, this is the culmination of everything. This is the FA Cup, if the FA Cup actually mattered. But more importantly, it's an opportunity to revel in all that is football and all that is football around it. So, for example, this is a great time to bet. It's also a great time to be around fellow fans. It's also an even better time to see what TV is around it. But I think, first of all, let's look at the betting.
Okay. So what we got? So we've got Patriots. Let's have a look at the line here. Let's pull this up. So we've got the Patriots are favorites by 1.5 points.
Wow.
It's kind of close, right?
It's a pick'em, basically.
It's basically a pick'em. So Seattle plus 1.5, the Patriots minus 1.5. So it's basically a pick'em, right? And I think it's a reflection to the performance that they had in the last game. Interesting thing to see is if more money now goes on the Seahawks because America doesn't like the Pats because of the ball pressure,
mm-hmm.
we shall see. We shall see. But look, one of the great things about Super Bowl is you can bet on anything.
Yep.
It makes gambling super interested. Coin toss, even money on coin toss, by the way.
Ooh,
there's no
okay.
favorite in that
Sadly.
This year. No favorite in that this year. But like coin toss, national anthem length are always
Do
really...
Do you know who's doing that? The Let It Be woman's doing the national anthem, I think.
Who's the Let It Be woman?
Is it Let It Be? No, Let It Go. Frozen. That Frozen woman's doing it.
That Frozen woman. Do you mean Idina Menzel?
Yeah, that one.
You know, I saw someone on Twitter actually went, who's Idina Menzel the other day? I was like, are you kidding me? You see how many copies that Frozen soundtrack has shipped this year?
Yeah.
So the interesting bet that I wanted to look at, and mm-hmm. I hadn't looked at it so far, was the what the odds were for the first score to be a safety.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think last year it was still... The first or last score to be a safety. Don't have the odds in front of me, but think about it. The last three Super Bowls, that bet's come in.
Mm-hmm.
Manning with the snap over the head on the last one. The Ravens punter douching it out the end zone at the end of the last one. And then Brady getting sacked for the safety or the holding in the end zone. So the last three Super Bowls, you've had safety as the first or last score. So I don't have the odds, but that's a kind of interesting one to look at. But look, it's a wrinkle. Betting makes it interesting. And go on a plethora of the sports sites out there, and you can bet on all sorts of weird and wonderful things to make it even a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Color of Gatorade chucked on coach and all that other fun stuff.
What, like, clothing Katy Perry will be wearing.
Yeah. So, Katy Perry, excited about that? You like that halftime slate?
I've come to terms with it. Like, I was quite down on Bruno Mars initially last year, and then you worked your way around. You talked me around it, and to be honest, he put on a very good show.
It's what he does.
I'm curious about Katy Perry because, from what I've been told, her concert demographic tends to be little girls. So I'm very curious to see how she's going to translate that to necessarily a more mature audience. I'm also curious to know
how she's bringing out Lenny Kravitz. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm going to say. I'm curious how she's going to incorporate Lenny Kravitz.
Easy.
But what song are they going to mash up initially to then get him?
American Woman, surely.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
American Woman. American Woman.
Maybe she comes out to American Woman.
No, she'll come out to I don't know. She'll probably come out. I'm interested to see if she does I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah, that would be big.
And I liked it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like just telling people. Well, we shall see.
Don't. Also, with Katy Perry, she's got an interesting career in the sense that when she first came out, she had those very sort of Britney Spears-esque pop songs. And she still is a pop star, don't get me wrong, but Dark Horse and the more recent ones are kind of that, you know, she seems to have decided to push herself more musically, so to speak.
Very true, very true. So that should all be very, very exciting. So that's part of your plan. You've got to get in a good position to watch the halftime show, pre-game show, all that type of stuff. Let's go to the game. So Hawks, second year in a row. Patriots, this is now their third Super Bowl in the last six years. Could potentially be their third loss, New England being the slight favorite. You know, we don't necessarily go through the keys to the game and the matchups. There's plenty of other people online that can do that more acumen than we do. But look, when it comes to this game, and we've seen this, lots of other factors come into play, right? So the New England Patriots losing to the Giants the last couple of times they did when they were big favorites come into it. The Seahawks decimating the Broncos again last season. How do we see this one going? Where's your money in, yeah? Where are you? What are you thinking the key matchups are for this one, and how do you see them going?
All right, so I see this one definitely not being a blowout. Definitely see this one being very close, as reflected in the betting already. I can definitely see this being a case of how the Seahawks deal with the Gronk. I know that in against the Colts, he was kind of quiet. It wasn't really until the second half that he kind of came alive, and it was more just LeGarrette Blount being the determining factor for the Patriots. Well, one of the many determining factors, but I'd definitely say he was the main focal point. With this, I definitely see, you know, how the Patriots use Gronk in various situations as the key factor, because that Seahawks defense, keeping that score against Green Bay, like a formidable Green Bay offense, keeping them to just six on the first two red zone appearances that Green Bay had, was such an important factor and something that gets instantly overlooked in the heroics of Russell Wilson and Curse and everyone else at the end. And I just see it being really a case of the Seahawks defense winning over. I think Russell Wilson's not going to have as bad of a game as he had last time. I don't think anyone could have a game as bad as he did last time. And And hopefully they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch a little bit more, because I felt that was one of the issues with the Seahawks early. It's not necessarily that they're only down by two scores, but they didn't seem to be, you know, pushing that running game. They kept on just putting the ball back in Russell Wilson's hands, and I felt that ultimately that was their downfall. I felt they could have come back earlier if they had, you know, given it to Marshawn Lynch. He was picking up yards. He was picking up those 6-7 yard runs when they needed it. So give him the ball. That's what I say.
Interesting one, and I agree with a bunch of that. I don't know. I think this Deflategate thing changes everything, personally. I think it's a big, big factor. It shouldn't be, but it is. Before going this, I really liked the Patriots. I just think, look, Seattle, as well as they've played during this stretch recently, they haven't faced a quarterback, really. Rodgers, of course, but not a fully fit Rodgers. Quarterback of any major pedigree. The home field advantage they've had is going to be neutralized in the Super Bowl. I think, look, if the Patriots can get up early and build up a lead early, very difficult for the Seahawks to come back. Look, it's so hard, isn't it? Because you go, well, wait a second, they came back last week,
yeah,
right? And we can look at these outlier things. I don't know. I think the Patriots, their ability to not only run the ball and throw the ball and have a defense which is actually pretty serviceable, I think they stand. They're not as favored as they have been in their last two Super Bowls, but you know what? I think that probably works to their favor. Injury questions about the Seattle secondary. We know that. I'm going to throw a prediction out there. I think the Patriots, personally, I'd like to see the Hawks win. I see the Patriots winning this, and I see them winning it by over 7 points. That's where I'm at.
Wow. Guarantee it, he says.
I'm not guarantee it at all. And again, we're a few days out of the Super Bowl here, so I could really swing on this, but that's kind of where I am right now as we stand. So
can we talk about I know we just talked about the game, but can we just talk about merchandise stuff? Because you know me, I love a bit of merch.
Yeah, I do know you.
We got hit up on Twitter by a friend, mutual friend of ours, Stefan, asking about trying to get a Marshawn Lynch jersey or apparel before the Super Bowl. Do you remember last year if Nike actually did anything, or the Nike store in Oxford Street actually did anything for the Super Bowl or not?
They did, but I think the problem is with those guys at this point in the cycle, they're out of so much stock anyway.
Yeah.
I think his question was quite an interesting one. Is he was like, oh, I want to get a jersey and I want to get Beast Mode on the back, not the name.
Yeah.
And he wanted it in the Seahawk blue. Look, you're going to struggle in this country if you want to physically go and pick up Hawk stuff that is there at the end of the season, right? Because I don't think the cycles work with shipping like that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's the internet. You know, you just got to go out and you've got to fire on that. I've got to give a shout out to, we've got a lot of Seattle connects on this podcast, but if you look at, say, places like Throwbacks in Seattle or Alive and Well, the skate brand in Seattle, shout to them. They've got some really, really cool Hawks, Marshawn Lynch type customization stuff that they basically are putting out for the game. Now you've got to get it shipped from Seattle, and I appreciate there's a cost from stuff like that, but look, if you want to roll like that, you go to the source, and you've got that opportunity. So some amazing customizations. I'll be wearing a Marshawn Lynch customization at the Super Bowl on the night, so come and touch me. But that type of stuff, so you know, it's a shame, but also market forces say that, like, you know, are Nike Town suddenly going to go, right, okay, we need to get this place absolutely flooded with Hawks tops because we're going to do it. It could work, but I just don't think the machine works that way. And when you've got the real, real dedicated, they'll eat it up and pay the shipping. That's what I'd say.
A more abstract question here.
Go on, go abstract.
Since you talked about market forces and the machine and stuff like that, as we're seeing the growth of NFL in the UK, and we see that the NFL UK are very keen on stressing whatever the three international home games are, they're keen on getting the physical stuff into shops.
Oh, we should talk about that briefly as well. So okay. They confirmed all those. They're all going to be the 6 a.m. West Coast time slots. They're all locked in. And that was kind of like the worst kept secret in show business. But so one of them's a 1:30 and the other two are 2:30 kickoffs. That was confirmed this week in case anybody didn't see that. So you've got the early slate on the West Coast. For you you gamblers that want to get it early, bit of a dig in the ribs to the Premier League there, to kind of like people are getting up anyway, so that was confirmed anyway.
So they're very keen on actually getting in like stuff physically into stores for those games, but then as soon as that's over, they kind of have skeleton stuff in the shops. Why don't they push harder for a better NFL Europe shop? Because online's the way to go. They're obviously spending a lot of money on online advertising, online, you know, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. Okay. Why can't they just beef up the shop instead of trying to...
You're going to keep coming back to this one, aren't you?
I am.
You're going to keep coming back to... I don't know. I don't know, right? But I do agree at the games themselves, the merchandise concession stuff are some of the most popular pieces that they have. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that... They don't necessarily know. Look, stock control is a very complex thing, the way that it works. And I just don't think they know enough of the patterns to kind of figure out how people are going to buy what. I was at the Knicks game last week, and, you know, it was strange because, you know, everybody wanted to buy Knicks caps, you know, and Knicks caps were sold out by the time the game had even started, mm-hmm. you know, but
Did they still have Jeremy Lin stuff? That's what I want to know.
No, they didn't actually. The concessions were actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. They had these really cool, like, throwback all-star jerseys, like Patrick Ewing all-star 90s what? Jerseys and a Hakeem Olajuwon one.
How did you not tell me this?
Well, I don't know. It didn't come up. Yeah. But they had some of that stuff there, but they, you know, but I don't know. Right is the answer is, but again it's the same principle, isn't it? It's just like people can get hold of this merchandise a lot more than they could before. Do people all week want to go out and get a Hawks jersey? And do we know the place for you to endorse and do that physically? Not so sure. But you know, a bunch of places on the internet, eBay. You know, obviously avoid the fake Moody stuff.
Yeah.
You can find that. Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to get a Seahawks Ken Hamlin replica jersey in time for the game. I'm not going to get a chance to do that. Oh well, life goes on, I guess, with that. So I don't know, man. I don't know. So anything else going on, Ninye? Or are we out of here?
I think we're out of here. I think Super Bowl party. I think one more plug for that would be good.
Plug away, young man. You just did it. Okay, people. It's been a great season and there's one more game to go. Thanks for riding with us. Well, we weren't really doing much stuff during the season. We're coming back with us in the playoffs. And again, see us at the party. Give us a dap. You know, love the feedback. Love people. What people say about the pod. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll see you on Super Bowl night. Super excited. And yeah, let's do this. Take care. The North Side.